B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Have a Modelo.
What?
It's a Modelo song for the commercial. It is. Remember that?
Yeah, no, yeah, sure. Excellent.
That's funny, Bert. Bert was talking about visits, right? Mm-hmm. Rob Gronkowski had the worst visit ever. They left him in to watch film. They came back. He was asleep, curled up on the floor. Nothing resonated with anything they told him. Yet, I heard Debo Samuel was cocky as hell when he was here. Thought he was coming here, knew this, knew that, tried to tell them what he doesn't get picked here.
Well, maybe they should rethink that then.
I mean, yeah. Debo.
Maybe like, sometimes a cocky guy can play.
Back you guys watch into those personal visits, right?
I mean, you guys watch Debo. Does he not look like a Patriot, Debo Samuel? Like everything that they want in football. Forget receivers. Forget just receivers. Everything you want in a football player. Doesn't Debo Samuel sort of represent that when you watch him play?
He reminds me of like Steve Smith, like a Raven.
He's violent. I think AJ Brown's the same way. And even DK. I mean, DK Metcalf. I think was a little different just because. It was just there was so many questions with him coming out, like whether or not he translated. And I think DK would have been, I don't know if he would have been a great fit for what you are here, because he's not the route runner that they like. But AJ Brown, would 100% be their type of player. And you see it with Vrabel in Tennessee now.
Yeah. Even like Slayton with the Giants, you just see those type of guys being Patriots. I don't blame a lot of teams for passing on DK Metcalf. I thought he was too big.
Yeah.
His size was just overbearing.
There was feeling that he wasn't a route runner, that he was too straight line. And look, like Seattle's done a great job with him. And and you got to give the kid credit too. Like he's one of the best receivers in the league right now. He went to the perfect place. Like he went to a place that is really suited to getting the most out of him.
Sure.
So, Bert, let's transition a little bit here and get your thoughts on what's going to happen with your alma mater. What the hell's going to happen with Ohio State here in the next week?
The Big Ten's got to make it work for them, and they got to put like their allegiances and everything else aside because, like, to me, this is about what's best for the conference. And what's best for the conference is finding a way to get a team in the playoff. There's one team left that can make it into the playoff. You know what? I heard the Rutgers president belly aching about, not wanting to play a season and everything else. How about we grant Rutgers their wish, right? Like, let's grant Rutgers their wish. And we can cancel their game this week because the president didn't want to play in the first place. And then we can make up the Ohio State-Maryland game on Saturday. How's that sound, Zoe?
Sounds great.
Yeah, except today's Wednesday, Bert. Like, these things need to be figured out.
That was when
today.
The Coastal Carolina BYU game got scheduled last week. And that was that might be the best college game of the season.
It was. It was a good game. Went right down to the end. Wilson, that kid gets tackled on the one. I watched a lot of that game, too. And
you like the Wilson kid, by the way, Zoe?
I do, but you know what else I watch a ton?
He's interesting.
I watched the whole Mac Jones game, and then I watched Kyle Trask. I like Trask better than I do Mac Jones. I think the receivers at Alabama are just so off the charts that they're wide ass open, and he throws a great deep ball. Does Mac Jones? Right. I mean, the ball hangs, but I think the Trask kid, I think it's him and the Wilson kid, then everybody else. But Bert knows how much I love to poke fun at Ohio State and watch them get popped. If you don't turn the television on. And that's all you got to do. Here's your simple test. Turn television on. Tell me who the best teams are. Yeah. It's Alabama and Ohio State. Mm-hmm. It's those two teams. And then try to talk me into Florida or try to talk me into Clemson. I think Ohio State and Alabama are so much better than Clemson because you take Trevor Lawrence out of there, it's sort of a pretty even balance there.
Yeah. Ohio
State's not in this. This is ridiculous.
It's a weird year. I think you have to be flexible with the way that you do the rules. I mean, look, like the ACC has bent over backwards for Notre Dame, and Notre Dame refuses to join the conference full-time for football. The ACC, I don't know if you guys missed this, the ACC canceled Notre Dame's game this weekend against Wake Forest because it didn't want to hurt Notre Dame's playoff chances. Think about that. They canceled a game for Notre Dame to make it work for Notre Dame.
Good for them.
It's just like, and the Big Ten will, again, like I think there's some jealousy going on here in the Big Ten too, that like, one school's kind of been, and I'm not just saying this because I'm what's behind me here on my wall.
Oh, no, No, you're not biased.
I'm an objective. I'm objective when it comes to this. I do think that there's some jealousy going on between some of the schools that maybe haven't been able to break through in football. I'll give the Michigan AD credit. The Michigan AD actually said it. Said they shouldn't be penalized for this.
Should Kirk Herbstreit take back his apology for the things he said about Michigan?
I don't think Harbaugh is ducking anybody, by the way. That's not in his nature. There's a lot of things Harbaugh would do. I don't think it's in his nature to duck people. So I don't believe that. Now, would the school president step in and do something? Maybe. But, like, I don't think Harbaugh would in any way duck. Like, I don't think Harbaugh would duck Alabama. I don't think Harbaugh would duck Clemson. I don't think Harbaugh is ducking Ohio State.
Hmm. Okay. All right. I just want to see your head explode when you're told that you can't get into the playoffs.
That's really very. I mean, you would not want to be around me after that.
Oh,
I think it would be unfair. I think it would be completely unfair. Obviously, I think anyone with a brain looks at this situation and says Ohio State has to get in. But I'm not going to lie. I would enjoy seeing your head explode.
I know. But hey, like think about this.
I would enjoy
though.
That.
Think about this.
What?
The games canceled were three games where Ohio State is like a 30-40 point favorite, right? They were a 30-point favorite against Michigan, Maryland and Illinois. The line was somewhere around there. So like you're basically keeping them out of the playoff because they didn't play three games that they likely would have had one in the third quarter. You know, I just doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't.
Oh man. Blair in Maine has a thought on this. Though.
Oh yeah.
On Michigan, Ohio State. What do you got, Blair?
My man.
Well, hey, what's going on, Zoe? What's going on? What's cracking? And you two over there in the other corner. I forget your name, but I'm bad at names, so forgive me.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah, I know. I should know your name by now on heart. Hey, what's going on? Is it Mike Breer?
Yes, Mark George Breer. George Breer.
Yeah. Mark, that's my brother.
We got Mike Breer here. Yeah, so what do you think? You think you can get in the room there, Blair? And maybe we could use you as some sort of person to get this figured out between Michigan and Ohio State and the Big Ten and everything
else. The Michigan-Ohio State game is such a huge game, and they canceled it. And it must be because COVID is so a big deal right now where they have too many cases right now, too many people getting sick and in the hospital right now. They have a lot of hospitalizations, like people in the hospital they're in the hospital with COVID, and that's probably why, and they want to make it safe, and that's the only way to do it is to cancel these college games.
I'm with you, Blair. But Mike Breer needs to understand that. Mike Breer needs to understand that COVID is far more serious than what it is to get Ohio State into the playoffs.
Where'd your brother go to school, and is he as insufferable about his alma mater as you are about yours?
No, my brother went to Roger Williams in Rhode Island. So,
oh, it's good cooking.
They don't have a football team.
No, Zoe, you're thinking of Johnson and Wales.
Same thing.
No.
Nope, not the same
thing. Roger Williams,
thing.
Big criminal justice school.
Right, don't a lot of people go to Roger Williams for, like, law school, too? Isn't that a law school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about at Bridge?
That's where McCone went. McCone went to Roger Williams.
Jesus.
Did he really?
That's a downgrade. That we just downgraded Roger Williams by announcing that to the world.
Imagine him coming back to speak to the graduating class.
A relative of me and McCone. It's not looking good for Roger Williams.
McCone's own news station won't even put up a good picture of him on air when he does his picks. It's like Fat McCone from like 4 years ago.
Matt and Peabody on this issue. Matt?
Hey, I'm a big Notre Dame fan, so I have a little bit of a take on this. Brian Kelly said last week that they were more than willing to play Wake Forest, but they didn't want to have the situation come about where Clemson would have 2 weeks off, and Clemson was refusing to play Florida State. So the narrative that Bert's trying to, say about
I'm not saying it's Notre Dame. I'm not saying it was Notre Dame's choice. I'm saying that, like, the ACC accommodated Notre Dame. Like, I'm saying the ACC did something to help Notre Dame out. Like, and I'm not saying that Notre Dame pushed for it. I'm just saying that Notre Dame was – like, the conference did what it needed to do to help its teams have the best shot of getting into the playoff, which is not what the Big Ten has done to this point.
I agree. I agree with that. I think if you look at it, though, right, if you have a team that's played 10 games and then a team that's played 5, whether the situation is their fault or not, it's tough to make a case for them to be the team that gets in the playoff over a team that's played 10 or 11 games with one loss. And also, especially in the Notre Dame case, they would have beaten the number one team in the country.
Well, they weren't. Well, they were number one at the time, but they were also with the true freshman.
They were without. They were. The time,
they were also, but they were also without Trevor Lawrence, which is an important detail, I think, in that whole thing.
Sort of a key element.
I think that's kind of a key detail. And I think if they get blown out by Clemson, they shouldn't get in. If it's close, I think you talk about it. If they get blown out by Clemson, we're talking about something else. I also like would mention that Notre Dame hasn't won an BCS bowl game or a playoff game since like 1992. And every game that they've played at that level over the last 25 years, they've lost by 2 touchdowns or more.
Yeah. They haven't been competitive.
They also haven't beat Ohio State since World War I, but that's neither here nor there.
No. But you know what you do get this weekend? Army-Navy at Army, which is
oh, that's cool awesome, setting. Yeah. It's the first one on campus.
Army
in
a better
time,
setting
right?
than Navy. Sorry, Sosie. Sorry,
I agree
buddy.
With that.
I think it's the first one on campus in forever, right?
Yes.
It's always neutral site.
I guess first time ever Navy's name has been written in the end zone, and they painted it all up.
Wow. All right, Bert, appreciate the time today. We'll do it again
thanks,
next
guys.
Week
Have
for
one
final time together this year. We'll
Don't
do
forget to ask
week.
Fred.
I will. I'll be sure to pin him down on that on Friday Atta morning boy. At 7 a.m.
See you, pal.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Okay, now that is squarely on Zoe. That had nothing to do with
I'll take
that.
That one. Yeah.
That's all Zoe. I see a lot of calls on the board today on your New England Patriots.
Let's do
a lot
some.
Of calls. We could do that. We're going to talk to a former Patriot at 1:20 today, a little more than an hour from now. The former Patriots kicker John Smith is going to join us at 1:20.
You're
going to
love speaking to him. And Hardy, we could all do all British accents for him.
So how British is his accent, though?
Like, hello there, Charlie Zolak. It's good to see you there, my friend.
But don't you lose it when you don't live there for a long time?
No, he does not lose it. He will sound like a Beatle.
He's from Liverpool?
Sound like John Lennon? We sound like John
Lennon?
He'll
sound like he's from Liverpool, not Dover. Yes.
Yep. All right. Well, we're going to talk to him coming up at 1:20 today. Zoe knows him. It should be some fun.
His daughter reached out to you. I can't believe his daughter reached out to you.
We were in contact. I was seeking it out. We're going to talk to him today at 1:20. We've got Bruce Arena set to join us at 12:50. Yes.
Excellent.
Bruce Arena is going to join us today for a little wrap-up interview. We'll talk to him later this hour. We'll talk to you next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Former QB, always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleeping on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who is always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Merry Christmas. Happy.
+1 777-979-0985, the phone number. Zolak and Bertrand on this Wednesday afternoon. Talk to Bruce Arena coming up at 12:50.
What are you laughing at?
I'm still laughing at you saying that John Smith is going to sound like a Beatle. You don't lose it.
You don't
he'll
lose
like,
it.
He'll sound like a Beatle.
Hello, Smitty.
And then Hardy following up with, he's from Liverpool?
If he's anything less than like full blown Billy Bragg Cockney, I'm going to be disappointed. I want to be, yes, you're from London. I want him to be like way over the top.
It's not going to be like Davy Jones.
That's Davy Jones isn't quite thick enough. I want him to sound like Russell Crowe and Master and Commander. I mean, I want there to be slang thrown in there. Want to sound like one of the kids from Top Boy. I want it over the top. Like, what did he say? I can't even understand what he's saying now. Anything short of that is going to be a disappointment now.
He drove me nuts when I first got here because we would do those.
Wait, did you guys cross over?
No, we didn't cross over, but
he wasn't still on the team then,
what
right?
What we did in the offseason was we would play those charity basketball games where you would get five old guys and five current guys.
Yeah.
So Smitty was the kind of guy that came out and being a soccer, he had his socks pulled all the way up to his knees. He had those soccer shorts. I forget the name of them, but they had the stripes down the side and they kind of looked like our old game jerseys, you know, sort of the two-tone. And he
like the Umbros?
Yeah, the Umbros. Thank you, Hardy. Umbros. And they were literally tied up to his nipples, and he had them up here, and he tucked his shirt in. And if you ever watch Michael Scott play basketball in The Office, you know, The Office basketball game where he goes and warm up and he just shoots? Smitty literally shot over his head like this, and he would just throw it. It would bang against the board. He would overshoot the whole board. He had no concept of the sport of basketball. And I'm like, how could this man function as a professional football player? And I knew he was a kicker, but I'm like, I don't care. You know, Vinatieri's an athlete. Vinatieri's in there. You know, he's running with the sprinting with the running backs, doing bench presses, squats. Smitty probably would never do any of that.
You sound like you're from London.
Pretty much.
If he doesn't sound like Arthur Shelby from Peaky Blinders, it's going to be a big letdown. We're going to have to include. I want the NBC Sports people to have to put subtitles up when he calls in.
You're going to be laughing the second he starts talking.
So after, but he also ran a soccer academy, Zoe, up until like a year or two ago.
Oh,
of course, locally.
Of course.
My kids, my middle daughter plays lacrosse, and we were literally lived in his bubble over in Milford. He has a complex over in Milford where he owns these soccer bubbles, and that's how he does his business right now. He's a smart guy, very smart guy.
I can't wait to talk to him now. I'm looking forward to this.
Bring your kids out.
If he watched any of the Revs this weekend.
I'm sure he did.
I wonder if he caught any of that. 617-779-0985. Let's go to your phones. Noah in Westfield, been hanging on a long time. Thank you, Noah. What do you got?
No problem. Thanks for taking my call today, boys.
Hey.
I just want to say I've heard a lot of people bashing Cam Newton, especially Felger and Naz. I know I've been saying guys like Alex Smith over him, and I personally have been rooting for him, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. I kind of think that, you know, over the offseason in the draft, developing some players around him, a guy like I think Kyle Pitts from Florida, I know Zoe was talking about Trask. I just think that I'd rather do that than kind of go with a third quarterback in 3 years. I feel like would be tough for the program.
Thanks. All right, I'm not rooting for him for next year, but I am rooting for him now. In the here and now.
You have no choice to. This is how I think they've Slater did a lot of this pregame too. Hey, we know what we are now. We know what type of team we are. We know how to win. And if they
But I didn't want to see Jarrett Stidham start this past weekend. I wanted Cam Newton to be the guy. I still want him to be the guy. I'm rooting for him in that sense, right? In the here and now,
I'm rooting for them the
rest of the way.
Whatever they have to do to win football games is what I'm rooting for.
That's not rooting for the player. That's rooting for what you think could be anything.
Right. But I'm with the afternoon show. If I had a choice between the two, even with his bad leg that the dog's always licking at and messing with down there, I would take Alex Smith from a game manager standpoint. Like, he can throw the football. I would just worry about that leg breaking in half on a bad hit.
Well, we know he can throw it less than 10 yards. Can he throw it more than 10 yards with accuracy?
Who?
Alex Smith.
I've seen him do it.
22 of 34 for 145. I don't want to see that every week. I'd rather see what Cam's doing.
You'd rather see this, 49, 69 yards.
Captain checkdown? Yeah,
yes,
no, Alex Smith's not going to win you a Super Bowl.
Cam Newton, I don't think Cam Newton is going to do that ever
Who's
again
talking
either.
About winning Super Bowls right now? Right now, I'd rather have Jimmy Garoppolo. That's my number one guy in the offseason. I'd want them to go get.
He could win your Super Bowl, right?
I think he could.
I don't think he will, but it's a possibility.
So if you're not getting a guy that can win your Super Bowl, why bother
going
bridge to bridge?
You're the same guy who said once he made it to his first Super Bowl and lost that the chances of him are exponentially decreased of him ever winning one.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's not like, would it be the most shocking thing in the world if
he
overcame that opinion that he won't do it again? No. Like, you know. Do I think there's a high percentage
just
of him
a different
winning Super
kind, not guys, different
no.
kind of a half measure. That's all it is.
You guys
half measures.
Better watch. You guys better watch with all these hot takes because
I don't think it's that crazy. It's unlikely that he will win a Super Bowl.
The TV simulcast that we're on takes our clips And they clipped these little video things, and they rumbled it off our
Why are you guys so pissed about that Bruins video thing?
I don't know.
You guys are so mad about it. I talked to Hardy about it this morning, and it's like, I can't care even a little bit.
It's because you didn't read any of the replies to it. The people just like losing their minds. I don't know.
Let them lose their minds. Yeah. What are they losing their minds over?
I'm not sure.
How do we even have a talk show? It's the number one midday talk show in the country.
You talked to Hardy this morning, huh?
I did. We had a pre-show meeting on the phone. You know.
Oh, you didn't invite Tom.
Oh, here we go.
Then I got tied up with the John Smith stuff.
For an hour?
Here we go.
20 minutes or so.
Did she tie you up in the bedroom?
No. No, I was frantically trying to set up three different people on, you know, things, make sure everyone's good, checking in on remote learning and such. Busy day.
And talk to your bestie.
It's like my fourth Zoom hookup today. Yeah.
Busy day around here. That's all. Things going on.
Talk about things you should ignore. Ignore that remote learning. That's what I do. My life is so much better now. I'm just like, yep, either it's working or it's not. Tell me about it when I get home.
We
don't have time for any connection issues before I leave the house. Not my problem. Go see your mother.
Okay. Then.
I do all the nighttime stuff. That's when it gets fun. But in the morning,
we got to get them in school.
All right, then.
Get these kids back.
Very good. 617-779-0985. By the way, I got some specs on Brady's boat if you wanted those.
Ooh, yes.
Did you want those?
Yes, very much.
I got the specs on it. It's not measured in feet, though. It's 16 meters.
Is it in fathoms?
It has a range of 450 nautical miles. Oh. Top speed.
Why are you giving us this idea? I thought you were going to tease it.
It's 12:31. I'm like, oh, he's going to set up a nice tease.
He's so excited.
I'm going to give you the real deets on it. We'll do that coming up after headlines. That's just a little taste bag.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thanks to our listener, Adam Stillman, sent over an email. Said, what's up, Zo?
Hey, what's
up? Denmark, this appears to be the new boat. $2 million, give or take. Three pod drives. Pretty easy to drive because of joystick controls. But it's a big boat. Learning how to really handle and navigate this takes time. I'm guessing he will have a captain on call to drive this thing. Yes, perfect. By the way, I chatted with Danny and Quincy after yesterday. He was...
Oh, you two talked off the air.
Yeah, we did. Oh. He said he just said he wanted to further explain that he thinks Brady's going to get to a point where he can drive his own boat, but that it takes time and that nobody should be doing that without proper training. He laughed at the end of the call the way we did.
You got time to talk to everybody except for T-Bone.
Yeah.
No commute. Just pops on the phone at the end of the show. It's nice.
Again, that was yesterday. I made sure to connect with Danny and Quincy, and took care of that. Just wanted to reiterate that people need training. Okay, you don't go out there just driving a boat not knowing what you're doing. And of course, he's someone who can take care of that training if that's what you're seeking.
So, what are the other specs you have for us?
First of all, customization seems to be the name of the game when you're in the market for a $2 to $3 million boat. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like, because this is the, I don't know, it's the Wager. It's Wager is the brand.
Wager.
Wager, is that how you say it? Thank you.
It's a Wizza.
Why, you know anyone that has one? A Wager?
No, like Major.
Wager.
Major.
We're going to call it the Wager. It's the 55S Tender is the boat that he has.
So it's 55 feet, not 43.
Well, we don't know that the 55 refers to the feet.
Usually the numbers refer to the amount of feet in the boat.
Okay.
Like 2300.
All right,
so
55 footer then. Yeah, get this.
When I saw the picture, I'm like, there's no way it's 43. Because like my buddy Jay Miller, who is actually a captain and can drive a boat, has a 43-foot Intrepid, and this thing looks twice its size. 55 is a big boat.
All right.
That's your normal yacht, cabin, cruiser type size boat, 55.
How do you spell the name of the boat, Beetle?
W-A-J-E-R.
Oh, boy.
Wajer.
Is that what you're going with?
I'm going with Wajer. Yeah, it's Wajer. French. It's a French-made boat that Wajer. He probably fell in love with when he was at the French Riviera.
Yes. Okay. Maybe that's what it is. They call it the world's smallest super yacht. On the website.
All right.
It is, the beam is 14.4 feet, and the boat is not 55 feet. It's actually 53 feet, believe it or not.
Okay.
The boat is 53 feet long.
I don't believe it.
Top speed, 40 knots.
He ain't ever driving this, okay? He ain't ever going to drive this thing.
450 nautical miles is its range.
All right.
That's how far it can go. Let me give you some more. It has three Volvo 480 horsepower engines in it. Do you like that, Zoe? Does that get you excited?
I said three yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. Cruising speed, 28 knots. We're going to need a conversion. Could someone convert the fuel tank liters for me?
Holy Jesus. I just sent you guys the website for this thing. Check your text. My God.
Yeah, I'm on the website right now. That's where I'm getting all these stats.
He ain't driving this.
Whether he's driving it or not, and I don't know nothing about
boats.
So
the gas, the fuel tank is 625 gallons.
All right.
Okay, fuel on the water, if it's $2 a gallon at the pump for cars, fuel, this thing ain't, you're not pulling this thing out of the water to drive it to Cumberland Farms to use your SmartPay rewards app to gas it up. You're buying fuel on the water. Fuel's going to be about $3.50 a gallon on the water. $3.50 to $3.90.
Oh, good God. So that's a lot. Let me ask a question. Is that good for the environment, Giselle? I'm just curious to know, the environmentalist that she is.
As long as you use paper straws on it, I'm sure you'll be fine.
What do they call Leo DiCaprio? Doesn't he have a nickname for his private jet? T-Bone would know this. He hates anyone who cares about the environment. what is it?
Well, he hates frauds. That's who he hates.
Footprint? What's it called?
Carbon footprint?
Yeah.
Right, T-Bone?
What do they call him? They have a name. They have a name for him, for his like private jet, because he's always preaching about the environment, but he then flies around in a private jet. And someone will tell me his name. Someone will give me his name. Twitter will have it in a matter of seconds.
Big swinging Nick?
Is that what it is? Big swinging. I don't know how that works, but okay.
Where does Nick come from?
I just use Nick, okay?
All right. Here's the thing about Brady's boat, all right? I'm looking at it. It's really, really, really nice. But for $2 million, it looks like...
I heard it's north of that.
But it looks like, as someone called and said yesterday, it's like it's a really big, overgrown, like, speedboat. It's like there's a few places to sit down in front of the, you know, the little wheelhouse there, and a few places to sit down behind it. And, yeah, I'm sure you can go below, and they've got, you know, a couple places to lay down. But does it look anything resembling, like, a mini yacht? Or does it just look like a really big, like, powerboat?
No, it's a big powerboat. It's a day boat. You know, you're not yachting with that. You're not truly yachting.
Right.
Yes.
You're going to spend more than $2 million on this thing? I'd get a nice pontoon boat. You cruise the lake in style. You take the grill out there with you. You jump off the side. You swim off of it. This thing?
We saw this in Boston Harbor.
I don't see a grill
Marina
on
Bay.
This boat.
This thing's turning heads. Or down at Cape Cod.
Where's the grill?
This is a Nantucket boat.
Where can you get a hot dog on this boat?
Give me some. Exactly.
You know, Hardy brought this up yesterday. You people think that he's rich and he makes money. You ever go to... If you ever go to Nantucket in the summer, just go down to the marina. To the
yeah, those are the guys with real money.
Walk around. You want to see money.
All right. We're going to talk to Bruce Arena.
Footers. Yeah.
Sporting director, head coach of the Revs. Their season came to a close on Sunday. We'll get his thoughts on it and wrap up the year with Coach. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
It was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Solak and Bertrand at 12:52. It is now. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in Sporting Director and Head Coach of the New England Revolution. It's Bruce Arena with us once again. Coach, how are you?
Good. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What happened Sunday? Give us your description of events there. What went on there?
Well, we didn't play our best game, but those are games where if you're a little bit more experienced, a little bit sharper mentally, there's a chance you can sneak out of there with a win. To Columbus's credit, they made the play that made a difference in the game and deserved the win. However, we had some chances of our own and failed to capitalize there and obviously made a couple of mistakes at the defensive end of the field. So in the end, we fall short, but I think it's something we can learn from. And it also, you know, it's clear to me that we need to improve our team. So we're going to work hard in the offseason to bring in two or three players that will help complement the group that we have already.
Did you know it or expect that type of outcome right away? When you say you didn't play your best, you know, sort of through the trend of a game, you know, the tide may turn and, you know, maybe something after halftime. But did you have a feeling early in that game that, oh, this could not be our day?
Well, you know, we didn't play well in the first half. In the opening minutes, you know, we were poor. We gave the ball away. They created some chances. I think they had four corner kicks probably in the first 10 minutes. And then we got to halftime. It was even. And I felt that, you know, there's a chance we can regroup, be a little better in the second half. We didn't get better until they scored a goal. And then in the last 15 minutes, you know, we created some chances, but clearly didn't finish anything. And, you know, we fell short, but, you know, I think if we're realistic, we look at the season and say that we did okay. We made progress this year, but we had a very unusual year, like all professional leagues had with the pandemic. You know, we were one of the top three, the bottom three teams in the league in terms of wins at home, and the top three with wins on the road. Very unusual. So we have to turn that around. If we were a better home team this year, we would have been right up the table in terms of the standing. So we've got to get that better next year. I was very impressed at our mentality on the road. We played quite well away from Gillette. And next year we've got to turn that around and be good not only on the road but at home as well.
Well, looking forward to next year, the three designated players, Gustavo Bow, Adam Buxa, Carlos Heel, all returning. You've got some veterans returning too, of course, Matt Turner. But, you know, it's notable to look at least one of the out-of-contract players in Diego Fagundes. He's had so many minutes right. And so many starts. Do you feel an agreement with him will be reached, or are you kind of making plans right now to play next year without Diego?
Well, Diego's a free agent, and, you know, that's something that's happened over the last 5 years or so in MLS, and he has the opportunity to look elsewhere, which he is. We made him what I thought was a good contract offer about a month or two ago that he rejected. So he's, you know, he's going to test the waters. There's a chance he could always be back, but, you know, I believe that he'll look to go elsewhere.
So you've made some decisions this week on contracts, and it looks like you're going to have flexibility in the roster and money freed up. You already mentioned wanting to add two or three players, notably in the attack. So do you expect to have overall a pretty busy offseason?
It will be busy, but we've done a lot of the work already. In fact, you know, I was on a call with a player overseas about an hour ago, and we've been working real hard. Our scouting department, Remy Roy, who heads up that area with Kurt Analfo, they've done a very good job, and we have our targets already. We've talked to them. It could be in a matter of weeks we finalize everything, but or perhaps it goes into January and February. But I think we're ahead of the curve right now, and we're hopeful we're going to build a stronger roster for 2021.
Just as a quick follow-up to that, are you focusing on international players only, or are you going to be looking to add from within the league too?
Well, we have definitely going to look to add players from within the league, but we also have five players in our squad that are free agents that we're confident we're going to be able to re-sign a couple of those players as well.
Coach, I know you got a December 13th circled, not only because it's my birthday and you probably want to send more beer that day, but it sort of begins the transition to next year, the half-day trade window. Do you have any anticipation that this is going to be a full season going into next year? You mentioned COVID and how well everybody's done with it this year, but, you know, National Hockey League, they got the shortened season. We know when the NBA is starting. Do you anticipate a full season, or are things in limbo for you guys?
We anticipate a full season. I think in the next month, the next week, MLS will publicize that and give out some more details. Nothing has been finalized, but my expectations are that we will have a full season. Hopefully we start in the middle of March or beginning of April. I think that's some of the thinking right now, and we're able to go completely through the season, you know, with the advances in medicine, with the vaccinations coming in. There's a chance that, we're going to be able to start pretty much on time and have a full season.
I'd like to do a quick follow-up to that. Some leagues, and most people are talking about, okay, when you do your next contracts, maybe we're going to make these vaccines mandatory. Do you anticipate soccer making the vaccine mandatory based on travel, where some of these guys come from?
I would think so, but again, that's not my responsibilities in terms of medicine and those type of things. But I would think that every player would want to get a vaccination. Obviously, some may not. And then there's the issues with the collective bargaining and all of that. So I don't know the exact answer. But, you know, I would think that our team is going to get vaccinated. And hopefully that allows the league to play full season and not deal with any of these issues that we saw in 2020.
Bruce, I know when you arrived here, you talked with us about wanting to build not only a great team on the field, but wanting to help build support for the team. And you've always been pretty connected with the fan base, even this year with obviously no fans. Are you hoping that the results this year can sort of carry over into next year, which can help bring more fans to Gillette, which can help continue to build sort of the fan base and the awareness about the Revs?
Yeah, definitely, and I think, you know, we're going to continue to plan on building a stadium in downtown Boston. But, you know, the one odd thing here is I've been here about a year and 4 months, 5 months or so. I really haven't got to meet the fan base. I haven't had an opportunity to meet the families of our players. It's been so strange. And we're hopeful that next year we get a lot of energy. We can start the season in March or April and open up the gates again, have people at games, and we get to know our fans a little bit better. We put a better team on the field. We grow our following, and we continually to improve this team. So one day we can try to be on par with the other great teams in Boston. So that's my goals personally. Hopefully we can get there.
All right, Coach. Well, it's been great talking to you all season long. We always appreciate your time and
sure do.
Willingness to be transparent and talk about everything. We really do appreciate
it. And I appreciate your support. You guys have been great, and we all appreciate it.
All right, Coach. Awesome. Enjoy some time with your family now before you got to get back at it. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay. Bye now.
Bruce Arena joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Rev season coming to a close last weekend, but it sounds like there could be some pretty promising stuff in the offseason for the Revs. So it will be something to follow all offseason long, including the fact that he's been working the phones already.
Yeah,
talking to a player in Europe.
Classy to come on, too. And, you know, Stevens has done it, too. We appreciate the wrap-up interviews. You know, sometimes people like him even more after you lose because, okay, what happened? What transpired? What do you need to do to get better? And it's just a nice gesture for him to take time to come on with us because he don't have to do it.
No, he could blow us off and nobody would know. but he didn't.
The Diego Fagundes contract offer and the fact that he's going to be out there testing the free agent market is significant just in terms of, you know, a player who's been there so long. And, you know, you realize he's not that old, but he started playing at such a young age and he's been a fixture. And he's had some up and down times in his career here with the Revolution, but if he were to leave, that would be a significant difference.
Reading between the lines, how do you feel right now after that answer about his return? Likely or unlikely?
Just based on what Bruce just said, I would say unlikely.
I would agree. I don't think that sounds good for his return. It could be very Belichickian.
Yeah,
moving on a year too soon rather than a year too late. Hardy.
Yes. It's the same
We've
way
made an offer.
When Stevens talked about Gordon Hayward, yeah, I'm here if he needs me. Yeah, that's the way I took it. And of course, Gordon was gone. It's almost like he knew. But I do think it's going to be interesting with the vaccine. You know, once the vaccines are out and available with all these professional sports leagues, you know, how do you make it mandatory? Do you make it mandatory? Is that going to be part of new CBAs? Is going to be, you know, part of deal breakers, part of new contracts that teams may require players? And I don't know what the details are going to be, but it's going to be fascinating to see.
I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I think players are going to say, yeah, sure, we'll take the vaccine.
Fagundes, he played in his 261st game for the Revs this year. That tied the team record.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.